Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. It is Jaguars Today. We're going to merge those two highlights together. And this time it'll be Scobie beating the Titans instead of Hollis beating the Titans and Scobie beating the Colts. That's the best I can come up with today. And I'm sure Oren Brooks played that with a purpose today as the Jags look for their first victory of the season as they go to Nashville, the scene of the crime last year where they snapped their eight-game losing streak to open the year. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you. Ryan O, how are you?
Good, good. That's why I'm picking the good guys this week. Is gotta get that mojo from last year.
They're gonna win eventually, right? They're not going 0-16. This is as likely a week as any, right?
Yes, and if the Titans are reeling too, looks like they're gonna go with Whitehurst, new left tackle. So, yeah, they're not world beaters. They can't win at home like these guys. So, I'm going to, the Jags get a win here. Maybe that'll begat some more wins in the first half of the season.
Why not, right? It got them rolling last year. They won a 4 out of 5. So, they certainly were close last week. The offense couldn't break through. We're going to see some changes, I have a feeling, this week. Toby Gerhardt doesn't practice yesterday. Storm Johnson's a guy who's become the topic this week in terms of, look, we're grasping for hope here, right? Because he had 4 carries for 27 yards. It's not exactly like he burst onto the scene, with a 200-yard debut, but the Jags running game is so desperate for something impactful that I think people are clinging to the hope that Storm Johnson can be that impact player.
Yeah, and, to Gus's credit on Monday, he basically laid it out without laying it out, saying, because I asked him point blank, I said, hey, is this a four-horse race for number one tailback? And he goes, how about Storm's carries? To me, I mean, they're going to give him some run. His thing is he's got to stay available. I mean, he had those 2 carries, then he came off the field, got the ankle taped again. So he's got to be able to stay out there. They got to be able to trust him in pass protection. It's another thing the coaching staff talked about this week is trust with his teammates. So, if Gerhardt doesn't go today or is limited, I think he'll be listed as questionable. And I think he'll be active, but I think Storm's going to get most of the carries.
The question is, what is most of the carries, right? Because last week, and I feel like people are sick of hearing me say this, but I think it's a point worth repeating. It was a one-possession game, no more than a one-possession game at any point last week with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they threw it 36 times, and they ran it 11, not counting quarterback runs. Okay, so how much, even if he gets the lion's share of the touches?
8 carries.
Right. Will there be more of a commitment, in your opinion, to the run this week to try to get that aspect of the game going?
Well, I think let's throw a hypothetical and say start Storm Johnson. I think they're going to try and commit to it. But does that mean 8 carries for Storm, 5 carries for Toby Gerhardt, 3 carries for Denard, 2 carries for Jordan Todman? I mean, I think once you get above that 20-carry threshold, then we can start seriously talking, okay, who's getting the work?
Right.
Because it's, they're going with a hot hand a little bit. But that was surprising. It shows you what they thought of their run game is they felt like the best way was to pass those many times against the Steelers. But who knows what their plan was going into the game. I think Gerhardt gets banged up again, third play of the game.
I don't blame them necessarily, because when you're running and you're having zero success, at a certain point, you say, what, we're wasting plays. We're just giving them downs right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're not out there to bang your head against a brick wall. You move on to what's working.
But at the same time, Toby Gerhardt, ever since they signed him, I think most people have felt, if he's going to really be the guy that they hope he's going to be, you're probably going to see that in the second half of games after he starts to wear on people a little bit, because he's a big physical runner, one of the most physical runners in the National Football League, and that's the kind of guy you would expect that when you hit that 15-carry mark, that's when you're really going to see his impact on a defense.
Yeah, and you got to be in the game, which they were, but even like in Philadelphia when they're up 17-0, as soon as they made it 17-7, you couldn't go to that ground and pound because you weren't running it great anyway. So, you're still waiting to see, okay, what kind of impact would Gerhardt have on an offense if he does carry 16, 17 times a game? Because he hasn't done that since week one. But you look at player, and I had this stat in the paper today. You look at players in this league who've had 30 or more carries. There's like 49 of them. He's 46th in yards per carry. So it's not going to cut it. And, you know, this.
Who are those other three dogs?
Donald Brown, San Diego. He had that.
I believe that right here. Yeah. The 31 for 62 game this year. What about, let me guess, Matt Asiata? Is he in the
No, he's not. It's Doug
the
Martin.
Falcons.
Oh, Doug Martin has been terrible, yeah.
But, you know.
They did help him out, didn't they?
Yeah. So,
you get a break. When the Falcons come up on the schedule, your running game gets a break.
Forte's going to have a good
week.
It's
a bump for everybody.
Yeah. He needs to cut loose. What do you think, talking to the coaching staff? I know you talk to Gus a lot. What are the thoughts about Storm in terms of pass protection?
Well, it's sort of like a topic not covered. Well, we'll see. You know, so, but in the way this.
Do they know?
I don't think so, because you can't, I mean, like, especially when these practices were open during the summer, this is not a team that does blitz pickup drills. They don't do linebacker versus running back mano a mano like you see on other teams, you know, specifically on like Hard Knocks. So, okay, how did he do in the preseason? I don't remember like a total bust.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I'm guessing, let's say he is your number one guy going into Sunday. I still think Todman's going to be your third down guy, because these guys aren't going to play a running back 50 snaps anyways.
Ultimately, though, Jed Fish this week said he'd like to play two. He'd like to have two main guys. If Storm Johnson proves to be an effective first and second down runner,
Garrett Hurts, your
there
third
you
down
go,
back.
Right? I mean, and I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. If just because he's making more money, if you ultimately allocate your resources and you have a seventh round pick and a free agent pickup, you're so far under the cap. Who cares what he's making? Yeah. If you can find the two guys and get an effective running game out of that combination, I don't think matters so much which way it came.
Yeah, and the key with for Toby in that respect was, and one thing he struggled with, you're a big guy, you got to get short yardage stuff, which has been a problem. So, you know, I think that's maybe what they're projecting is they tried plan A. Yeah, I love Denard, but, you know.
Well, I don't know if the number held up, but I think through the first three or four games, he was averaging less per carry than Toby was. So,
so it's this, you know, he's a guy. So, you know, maybe what I give these guys credit for, and they did it at right tackle when they got rid of Bradfield, is so they don't feel somebody's doing a job. They're going to see what the next guy can do. They're not going to stand pat because, like you said, a guy's a veteran free agent signing. They're going to see what the next guy can do.
And, look, we're talking about Storm Johnson and whether or not he can pick up the pass protections. I got to tell you, I've been pretty impressed with the job that Denard Robinson has done in that realm on the few occasions that they've asked him to pick up that kind of role. I've been relatively impressed with a guy that I wasn't sure when he came into the league he'd ever be efficient at doing that kind of thing. He's been okay at it during his time on the field, and he's actually asked to do it more than the other running backs in this offense have been to this point this year.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe he can carve out a niche on third down himself, and, you know, if Storm's active returning kickoffs, what does that mean for Todman? Future. Current.
Yeah,
status.
Well, I mean, I think, though, with him, you know, you feel that at least you've got a veteran guy. You know, there's so much youth that you're putting on one side of the football. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, if for one thing, let's see all these guys be healthy in the same
week.
Well,
that's what's helping. That's what's helping him is these other guys are nicked up.
Right.
You look at Mike Brown. Who would have thought he'd still be here week six?
Right. Well, and that's been the case because of these wide receivers. Although, surprise, surprise, Cecil Shorts gets a full practice in yesterday.
Yeah, that was that was interesting because I'd heard on Wednesday that he was going to try and do some stuff. To me, that means a limited. So I talked to Cecil before practice in the locker room. I said, hey, I hear you may be giving it a go. He goes, I'm full go. I said, so wait a second here. You know, what's your definition of full go? He goes, well, you know, I'm going to rotate in, get some snaps. And then he goes, well, that probably means I'm going to be limited. But so semantics aside, I'm sure he didn't take 67 practice snaps.
Maybe not the volume, but he's taking full speed reps.
Yes, so
whatever number that is.
I wouldn't take the full designation to mean that he's going to start on Sunday. If he does start, I mean, I think he's still going to be limited in his snaps because they do want to be careful because he only really did miss a week.
Where's Marquise Lee right now?
Well, he's been full go the last 2 days, so he missed 3 games, so I think he's going to be into that 30 snap range. you know, wean him back a little bit too. So this is the first time if Shorts is active, you have your full complement available. So I think they still start Robinson and Hearns. Then you work in Shorts, Lee, and then Ace.
Marquise is a young guy. He's an emotional guy. We've seen it on the practice field. Has he had a tough time dealing with the injury and not being able to, you know, it's something that's out of your control. Has frustration been a factor for him early in the season?
Well, it doesn't look like it. And, you know, he had a tough go of it when he was healthy. You know, it was pointed out publicly about some of the errors. So you never want an injury. But one thing I thought when he got hurt is, okay, maybe it will benefit him to take a step back and, you know, learn the playbook, because he was the first guy you thought of. He's sort of just running all around out there.
Right.
So maybe he comes back with a little bit better understanding. Maybe they pare down his stuff a little bit, and they can get some more production and less errors out of him.
Like you said, ease him in a few snaps, run some of the plays that he feels a little bit more comfortable with.
Yeah, because as is the case around here with so many young players, they play him a lot more than they have to because they need to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, either because of injuries or they're just better.
Well, you look across the board. I mean, we've run the numbers all week. Theoretically, you open in the three wide receiver set with one back, 11 personnel, Tony, right? One back, one tight end.
I label it as, I go 3-1-1. Well, that's 11.
Whatever. All right. Blake Bortles, Storm Johnson, Linder, Bowanko, and possibly three receivers. That's seven rookies on offense, which is three more than any team started offense, defense combined last week in the National Football League other than the Jacksonville Jaguars. So,
yeah, it's at this point it's become comical.
I hate the phrase, it is what it is, but that's the situation they're in. Yeah. Like you said, they're not going to sit there and stand pat on ceremony because one guy has been around in the National Football League longer.
I mean, they're not doing it to set some kind of record.
No, they're not doing it to say, let's really force these guys in the lineup. Now, hopefully, you know, ultimately, you get Cecil Shorts healthy, and then for right now, I think you're looking at Cecil, Allen Robinson, Allen Hearns, like you said, kind of topping that depth chart and easing Marquise Lee back into the mix. We got the next 2 hours to spend with you, Jaguars, today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Glad you're along here. Today's fan feedback spotlight, what we do every Friday, we look for your keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It feels closer. It feels like everybody in Jacksonville is picking the Jaguars to win, whether that is positive thoughts and hope running amok, whatever the case may be. I think a lot of people are not only hoping for, but maybe even expecting a victory this week. And so we ask for your keys to victory. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren for the lovely Lauren Brooks. Also, Lauren suggested today a pretty good idea. If we weren't doing keys to victory, what would you be willing to give as a Jaguar fan? What would you be willing to sacrifice? I'm talking about a little voodoo here, all right? A little good vibe, Tony. I like to make sacrifices to the fantasy gods. Like if I own a player in five leagues, I may bench him in one,
right,
and sacrifice that one, so in the hope that the other four teams will prosper because I bench that guy. That's usually how it works when you bench a guy; he goes off. And so, what are you willing to give up as a Jag fan, if anything? What would you give for the victory to come this Sunday? Whether that's something material, some behavior that you would modify for a period of time, whatever the case may be. You feel free to share those thoughts with us. And if you got Jaguar questions on your mind for Ryan O'Halloran or any of us, bring it to the table or just comment about the Jags in general and the game coming up against Tennessee. 641-1010 is the number. We'll welcome your phone calls throughout the morning. Lee Sterling will join us for Paramount Sports. We'll handicap a few games, including see what he thinks about Tennessee as a 6-point favorite over the Jags this week. With Fat Tony, with Ryan O'Halloran, I'm Mike Dempsey. We're here on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right. All She Wants to Do is Dance. All right. Is it the song? Who is this that does this?
Don Henley.
It is Don Henley. That's right. I was saying, in my mind, I was saying Glenn Frey. I had the wrong eagle.
Yeah, you're close, though.
Plus, it doesn't sound a thing like Glenn Frey.
Well, just like I was close yesterday with the lyrics. It's close.
Yes. That's right. they were both representative of the English language yesterday. So close in that regard. Don Henley, all she wants to do is dance. All she wants to do is get a win? I don't know. What do you got, Tony? Anything?
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet. All right. We're drawing blanks. O'Halloran's giving me a blank stare over there. But that's his typical countenance. So, all right. 641-1010 if you want to get in today. If you have a suggestion for what you're willing to give, how far would you go? How desperate are you at 0-5 for that W right now? And, Ryan, we've been looking at the schedule, and schedules are funny things because the strength of teams change dramatically. Like, you look at Cincinnati right now, well, who knows how long A.J. Green will be out? You know, toe injuries can linger. You know, things can change. But looking at that second half of the year right now, those, with the exception of Tennessee, even those two Houston games, I mean, Houston went toe-to-toe with Indy last night just after falling way behind in the first quarter. J.J. Watt had just a ridiculous performance last night. There's nothing easy coming in the second half of the season.
No, there's not. And, you know, you figure Houston is good enough that they should be still playing for something, at least in that first game, week 13, 14. So you're going to get that. They're going to come here. And if those guys have any pride, this team swept us last year.
Right.
Show up. So, you know, you look at after this week, Cleveland home. Cleveland can score a lot of points. They haven't been able to stop anybody. Well, the Jaguars haven't been able to score on anybody.
Right.
So, Miami coming in, I think that's, who knows about the Dolphins.
They're not great. I'm not saying they're unbeatable, but they're tough, and week to week, they're not, they're in pretty much every game they play.
Yeah, they beat New England on opening day.
Yep.
And they did what they should have done to a bad team with Oakland, and they crushed them.
Right.
So, and then you said Cincinnati,
Baltimore,
Dallas.
Yeah.
So,
all those teams right now look
they
like
won't be favored.
They'll have a good chance to have something to play for in the second half of the year. So,
yeah, man, at the beginning of the year, if you go game by game, I was going to predict the Jags beat Dallas. I thought Dallas is going to be terrible.
Right.
Well, it turns out they can stop some people. So that game's a tough matchup. So
absolutely. All right. 641-1010. Let's go to the phone lines for the first time today and welcome in John. John, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today. How are you?
Hey, Mike, how's it going? Hey,
good,
I got a question for Ryan. Y'all were talking about a few minutes ago with Marquise Lee, probably not learning the playbook and being lost the first part of the year. I know a bunch of people keep pointing out that we need a corner. And I still think we need to get a corner next year in the draft and a free safety. But everyone keeps forgetting we got Aaron Colvin that had a first-round grade, second-round grade on him if he would have been healthy. My question to Ryan is he out there every day during practice? Is he really able to digest the playbook and be out there on game days and go on the sidelines and talk with these guys and see like what they're seeing in coverage and all that? That way, when he does finally get put in there, will he be that up to date on the playbook, or is it still going to be a learning curve for him once he gets in?
It's a good question. I mean, I think his learning curve is just going to be getting the physical reps. I mean, he's been here since he got drafted, so he's in every meeting and doing all that stuff. But that doesn't replace the on-field stuff. When during practice during the week, he's on a separate field doing his rehab. So it's he doesn't stand next to Dwayne Walker during the 11-on-11. So that's something they got coming up in a couple weeks. Do they try and use him the last month of the season? Do they just want to say, hey, you're totally on a redshirt year, we'll bring you back next year? And I would agree with the caller, is free safety is a priority.
No question.
Find somebody.
Hey, look, and I don't have any problem with a redshirt year. If the guy turns out to be what he can be, what they think he can be when he's healthy.
Uh-huh.
This is a team that's young enough that you can afford. It's not like you gave up your first-round pick and you parked him. And that's happened before. We look at Willis McGahee, and we thought, what is Buffalo doing, taking a guy who just tore his ACL?
Sure.
Didn't play his rookie year and turned out to be a really good player for a long time in the National Football League. Wasn't all in Buffalo. But if Colvin turns out to be a second-round talent, even that, I'm fine with that, if he doesn't play this year. This team, breaking news, is not going to the playoffs.
What?
In 2014. Yes, he's not going to come in and save the season in the last month. I'd love to get him on the field as well to get him some reps so he has something and he can hit the ground running next offseason, but if it happens that they deem it the best for him physically to not do that and to wait, I'm okay with that as long as by next year he is 100%.
Yeah, I mean, The only thing the only thing they have to weigh is not his health, because they're not going to bring him back if he's not 100%. Is, let's say, two games at the end of the year. Would he greatly benefit from that?
I personally would think he would.
Yeah. So that's where what my consideration would be is, just get him out there, get him some contact, so he doesn't go from January 2014 Sugar Bowl until September 2015 without tackling or covering.
What is he right now? Physically unable to perform list?
I think he's on non-football injury.
Non-football injury.
So they at least they had a minimum of, I think they have a minimum 8 weeks before they even have to think about it, make a decision. Then he,
because they're reaching the point where you've got to count him on the active roster.
Yeah,
because
I think once that 8 weeks gets up, there's some language where you get an exemption because he can practice.
Right, you got like a 2 week window to gauge his effectiveness, his readiness, and then you kind of got to decide for the last part of the season.
I mean, I think if because of that late bye, maybe they have him until week 10 or 11 to figure it out, and then they can make a decision.
All right, 641-1010, thank you for the call. John Thomas, you're next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, guys, how are you doing today?
Great, what's up, man?
Well, I guess I'm really starting to not have that fan perspective where you think, you know, just a name is going to come in and be better than the guys we have. And I guess I'm starting to ease into the fact and understand that we're so young on offense that we're going to go as they develop. But I guess my question for you guys is on defense. Now, I know the defense that they ran in Seattle was Pete Carroll's defense, not Gus Bradley. But I guess my question for you guys is the reason that we play off coverage, you know, with having the DBs off the line of scrimmage so much, is that like a trust issue with them, or do you feel like that's a range issue with the free safety that we have? Like, if we had a guy that had more range, you know, and be able to get sideline to sideline faster, that they'd be able to play more press coverage? And that's the question I had. Thanks, guys.
Well, I think what coverage they play, it changes from snap to snap to snap. It has to do a lot of with, I mean, if the opponent has a 3rd and 12 from their own 20, they're going to play off. You know, is it one safety or two back there? So I think, Alan Ball sometimes likes playing off more than press, because he feels like that's his best way to make it, you know, make the stop. So personal preference also with the system dictates. But I think if you have a free safety out there, I think who that would benefit the most would be Cyprian. It would allow him to freelance some more.
It is the fact that they prefer to rush only four a factor in this? Like, if you're going to send more guys, maybe you're uptight because you're expecting the quarterback to have to get rid of the ball a lot quicker, right? And you don't want to give him that quick free release, and it takes a little bit more time. Whereas if you're uptight and you're running four guys at him, that guy is going to make up that cushion and have a chance to get open behind you a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm. It could be. I mean, it feels like they're playing a very passive kind of defense right now. I mean, they didn't rush more than four at Ben Roethlisberger last week, except for goal line, which doesn't really count because they had six defensive linemen in the game. So,
but isn't that what Seattle does? I mean,
I don't care. I mean, like,
but I mean, but that's but you. But I know you
they have better people.
I get that, and that's what it boils down.
That's why
to,
I think this staff has to adjust.
Well, I mean, but I guess they're.
I'll give you a point. And a point I made is, I don't care. Let's say you're not a blitzing coach. It's fine. You're in the NFL. You made it here by doing that. Don't you at least have to give the impression sometimes that you're willing to send pressure?
I would think so.
That's what my beef is why not send five or six on a given play just so Roethlisberger, a veteran quarterback, you know, by the middle of the first quarter, he goes, all right, I'm just going to keep five guys in, maybe a back. I'm going to start sending out guys because they're only going to rush four.
Right.
So, and my left tackle can handle Chris
Clemens. I thought the times they sent, and they weren't many. I thought the times they sent an extra guy against Philip Rivers, he burned him on it. You know, and I think it some of that may depend on the quality quarterback play that you're facing too.
Yeah, I mean, Rivers does that against the blitz against a lot of teams, but you know, it just gives the illusion that you're not thinking outside the box.
Well, it was also their best coverage day on Sunday as well, and maybe that has something to do with it, the fact that they were flooding coverage with seven guys on every snap instead of trying to figure out some way to get pressure up front. And look, we talked about this last week getting ready for the game. Ben Roethlisberger is a guy that's going to hold the ball, so, and he's going to try to extend plays, so that naturally should help whatever pass rush you have. Maybe you feel like we can send four guys against Pittsburgh because Ben's going to hold it long enough that every now and then we're going to get to him because he's just going to hold the ball too long. And they played pretty good coverage against the Steelers on Sunday.
I don't know whether they played great coverage on every snap or not, or they gave us some big third downs. Bottom line is the defense allowed 10 points, right? Because they scored a defensive touchdown of their own. And I didn't get the sense that Pittsburgh was marching up and down the field on them. And I agree with you, Tony. The coverage was the best by far that we've seen this year, whatever they did to Antonio Brown, whether that's just Demetrius McCray getting more playing time or what have you. Demetrius McCray obviously running with the ones this week at practice, too, Ryan. So looks like, for now, Dwayne Grotz has got to play his way back onto, the field at least, or play his way into the rotation. What are you looking at him right now? Kind of like as a nickel? Or?
No. I mean, because he, Gus said yesterday that Grotz responded to the demotion on Wednesday. Because let's say, let's face it, Dwayne wasn't lighting up when he was healthy. So that made their decision a little bit easier to put Demetrius out there to start on Sunday. But I think they're going to work Grotz in a little bit. They're not going to play inside. I know that. I mean, was told that. Not ready for that yet. So that's still Will Blackson's spot. So, you know, maybe this is the kick in the pants Dwayne Grotz needs to get it going because he was struggling early on.
Absolutely. But, I mean, I don't, right now, I think McCray responded as well. McCray played.
Maybe have Grotz take some snaps from Allen Ball.
Maybe you do. Right. I mean, that's, right now I don't see McCray giving up too many snaps if he continues to play the way he did and build on what he did against Pittsburgh. 6-4-1-10-10 if you want to get in. Let me ask you about that comment about Pete Carroll's defense versus Gus Bradley's defense. We hear this all the time. You know, what Gus wants to do. How much input has Gus had in molding what this defense is supposed to be versus inheriting ideas from his head coach?
Well, I think it's the classic mixture. I mean, I'm sure he takes some of the concepts, but, you know, one thing that he said about working for Pete Carroll was Pete would challenge him on a weekly basis. A, do what you do, you know, do your thing. You're the coordinator, but also, hey, think about this, this, and this. He says, sometimes I would take it. Other times I'd stick with what I was doing. So I think he gives Bob Babich and his staff the same kind of latitude. But I think some of the hallmarks are the same. It's just a matter of getting the people.
All right, 6-4-1-10-10 if you want to get in. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hower, and Fat Tony here with you. Somebody called Lauren and said that he has the Jags opponent as his defense each week because he's been playing the matchups, and he's more than willing to get negative points for a Jag victory. See, that's a man after my own heart right there. If you're willing to take a fantasy hit for an actual victory, a lot of people are the opposite. I'm not that way usually. But what are you willing to give up to see or sacrifice to see the Jags win this weekend? How desperately do you want it? 6-4-1-10-10. Tweet us as well your keys to victory or post on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. What are the three key areas the Jags need to excel in this week to pick up their first win of the season as they head to Nashville? It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Since 1905, Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida with the largest selection of new or pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville. Absolutely no dealer fees, and the only Cadillac dealer in North Florida to sell and service the ELR. They've got an on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair any Cadillac model. Claude Nolan Cadillac guaranteed to offer the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard, 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hower, and Fat Tony. Back with more Jaguars Today from Everbank Field, live next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I give a lot of credit to Blake. I think that's how he is as a person. I don't think anything has really fazed him that manner. But, I mean, he's got a lot of football to play, and he'll continue to grow. But exciting player to be around.
Gus Bradley talking about the poise of Blake Bortles. Hopefully he'll continue to grow with a full complement of receivers very soon, whether it's this week or not. Same old song and dance. So dance is the theme. Does it have to do with Music City, Nashville? Is that what we're going for?
Nope.
What do you got for dance? Hear that?
2 days in a row.
Yeah.
This is 2 days in a row, Mike Dempsey. Yeah.
That's I held that up just so you could hear my party foul right there. That's what happens. Coughlin, $50 fine.
That's right.
if you do that in the press conference.
So it has something to do with dance.
That was the rumor. I don't know if anyone ever actually – I don't think Coughlin had the authority to fine a member of the media whose phone rang in the press conference.
Yeah,
but
he could just –
I think people
like
just
stare would be enough.
I think people just threw the 50 and hid their eyes and just for shame, for shame. I don't know who that was.
JJ Watt's pretty terrible end zone dance last night, Lauren?
I really liked it.
What
Tony,
was that?
What are you talking about?
He was trying to do the nay-nay.
I don't know what the nay-nay is. Ryan, could you demonstrate the nay-nay for us, please?
No.
All right.
He was I was going to say you guys could at least say he was trying and we wouldn't know.
He got me 51 points in a fantasy league last night. J.J. Watt alone. Yes, I played J.J. Watt in a league.
Dance.
We have crazy leagues.
You want to see an end zone dance?
Nope. Nope.
Damn.
You'll get it eventually. I have faith.
All right. Fantastic. I spent the entire commercial break plotting how I'm going to be first on the computer to buy Hoot tickets next Friday. I don't have a city card, so I've got to wait till Friday like the rest of the unwashed masses.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy them all, city card holders. And I'm going to buy a bunch of them for next April 19th. Greatest band of all time is The Who. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. And apparently Dutch would, so let's say hello to him this morning. Good morning, Dutch. How are you?
No, it's Doug, but that's all right.
Oh, Doug. Okay.
No problem. Hey,
good job, Lauren. Go ahead, Doug.
So the Who's on tour. Is there anybody from the original band in this tour?
Yeah, Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey will be in there.
Yeah.
That's all you really need.
The guitarist and the vocalist. That's what you want, baby.
I got you. All right. Hey, what does Storm Johnson have to do this weekend, and can he do it, and earn a starting role moving forward? And if he does do anything that says, hey, we need to have this guy as our starter, does that mean D-Rob is out? And when I say out, I'm talking about out off the roster and onto a practice squad or on the street.
Well, for Storm Johnson to cash in his opportunity, meaning
3 point yards, 3.0.
If he gets the 4, he's in the pride of the Jaguars next week. A big thing for him is consistency. You know, stay on the field, stay healthy. And then
don't get your QB killed.
Yeah, so the three-pronged approach there. If Storm Johnson emerges as a viable option, what that means for Denard Robinson means he's still on the roster, but he has to carve out another niche. And does, like we were talking about earlier, if Johnson becomes the guy here in the next couple weeks, does that mean Toby Gerhardt's a short yardage third down guy? Does that mean Denard Robinson becomes your fill-in tailback on first and second down? So it does open up some options for this offense.
But Denard is not, in your estimation, in any danger of
no.
Not being. I mean, they don't have a fifth-round pick. It's not like they have. I don't know if that's better or worse, by the way, in terms of your roster safety. But there are not many guys on this team with the quick twitch fibers and the long speed that he has as well. Now, he needs to make more guys miss, but the potential at least is there, like we saw in the preseason. I'll run guys to the corner and take it the distance, whatever distance that happens to be. Mm-hmm. They don't have a whole lot of that right now.
Yeah, and, you know, has he caught a pass yet?
Denard?
Yeah, if he has.
He's caught a couple.
Well, I'm not going to.
He's caught a screen this week 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage where Allen Robinson missed the block and he got promptly tackled at that spot. That's one I recall. I
thought he caught 2 this week. Let me go check his
stats. Who knows what he does well.
All right, let's go to Jerome next. If that is your name, Jerome, I don't know at this point.
It's Chuck.
Hi, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, yeah, it's Jerome. How y'all doing today?
Good. What's up?
I just got a question. Mainly, do you think they're lacking like stud players? Like, I know they got like veterans like Paul, but he's like, you know what I mean? I don't know how much longer you can really count on him, how many more years. But, and I know the veterans they just got, they're in their 30s and they're downhill. So do you think it's like some stud players and game changers? Because I look at like Hopkins over there in Houston. And this is his second year, and he's doing pretty good. And Randall Cobb, they come in, and they do their thing. And I just want to know, I mean, is it the talent or the execution or what is it? I mean, I just got to You know what I mean? I'm just curious, but what do you think? Do you think they have enough playmakers to really make a difference? And it's not the studs they're looking for, it's just the solid players, or
gotcha. All right. I think we got your point.
Well, DeAndre Hopkins, not a go after the fumble guy.
Certainly not that. He was pretty non-existent last night in that game plan.
Unconscionable.
But, hey, he's had his moments. Certainly the first month of the season, he had some pretty big plays, but yeah, he
made a business decision on that fumble.
I mean, that's awful. I'm not saying it's justifiable, but I can understand in the preseason. I can understand if you're down 21 points with 5 minutes to play. This is the game's on the line right now. If we drive down and score a touchdown, we win. This is first place on the line.
I mean, and plus, he could have sold it better. I mean, let's say he had no intention of diving in there. He could have, like, jumped over the pile. You know,
something.
Done something else
right.
Besides stand there. But
yes.
To the caller's question, they need more studs. You look at this offense, if you're Tennessee, do you have separate meetings saying we have to take this guy away? Absolutely not on the Jaguar offense and absolutely not on Jaguar defense. So they need more difference makers, and that comes from guys either developing into them in-house or going to get them in free agency in the draft next year.
Right, and you know, you look at a guy like J.J. Watt, and as an example, every week, that's got to be where you begin your meetings every week when you play the Houston Texans. I mean, well, how do we contend with this guy? And hopefully, that's going to be Blake Bortles. I mean, ultimately, like here are the strengths of what Blake Bortles does, because you're doing the same thing when you're facing Indy. It's Andrew Luck this, Andrew Luck that, Andrew Luck the other thing, and T.Y. Hilton is a talent. He's got a lot of talent. I don't know what T.Y. Hilton would be if he were here in Jacksonville right now. You know what I mean? I mean, T.Y. Hilton, by the way, that was the first touchdown he scored last night in something, what do they say, something like 70 or 80 catches in a row. Hadn't been in the end zone.
Like,
so he had the big game, but he's got that natural talent, but that doesn't show up every week. That, to me, was Andrew Luck dropping the ball with crazy pinpoint accuracy on T.Y. Hilton all night to the tune of 9 catches for 9 yards. So offensively, I think your quarterback can turn average players into pretty good players, but it helps if you have pretty good players to begin with, and then you can have superstar type players. I really don't know. Is Julius Thomas as good as he appears to be, or is Peyton Manning putting the ball in such good places and they have so many other threats around him that you can't double team this guy? You know what I mean?
Well, I get what you're saying. Probably it's a mixture. I mean, if Julius Thomas is here next year, would his numbers be the same? Probably not, but also would he be an upgrade over what?
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, right? But so. to what level do you play at? Julius Thomas, to me, and I was talking about this with some people on Twitter yesterday, that is a guy that you need to have high on your list next year if they don't franchise him or find a way to bring him back, because that team's going to be up against the cap in Denver.
Because they got Demaryius Thomas up too.
Exactly.
So I think you can only pick one of those.
That's
guys.
Your. I think that's their priority. I would assume is Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah. With Julius Thomas, where his numbers would be impacted here, is the fact that look at all his catches for touchdowns are like 5 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards. This team doesn't get down there that much, so. The other team, Denver, scores a ton of points.
He makes a lot of plays between the 20s, though, too.
He would be a star here, put it, period.
Right. He'd be the top, other than the quarterback, he'd be the top impact offensive player based on the roster, certainly the way it is right now.
Yes.
You know, by the way, Todd Gurley, for all the draft Gurley people out there, apparently he'll be well-rested.
That's what I'm seeing on Twitter today from some
draft.
Of the draftniks, too. Daniel Jeremiah's already tweeted. He's like, this could actually help his draft stock. Not going to get carries for the second half of the year, so what?
Right. There's enough film on Todd Gurley. You should know what he's capable of doing. The only thing about that situation, I heard Dan and Jeff talk about this morning, not to get too sidetracked here, but I'm with that. I'm a capitalist. I don't see why Todd Gurley shouldn't be able to sign his autograph and get paid money for it just because he accepted a scholarship. Understanding that the rules are that he can't, he knew what the rules were. To me, though, it's dumb. It's so short-sighted. That few thousand bucks you make right now, what is it worth, Ryan? Tony and I were talking about this before the show, to go to an autograph signing as a Heisman Trophy winner for the rest of your life. And we're saying, what if you did a show with Herschel Walker and you're signing helmets, Herschel on one side, Gurley on the other, the two Georgia Heisman tailbacks, how much money did, you know, it's just so short-sighted, man.
Because, like, the Florida State quarterbacks signed together would be Wanky and
Ward. Right.
And so
and now Jameis.
Yeah,
well, do they also? I don't know if they haven't yet. So, yeah. as far as we know.
Yeah.
Well, Lenke and Ward were like have been through here,
doing signings, yeah, doing shows.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So you know the. You know, you talk about business decisions. You know,
right. And it's tough when you're 21. We all think that tomorrow's the most important day for the rest of our life, you know.
Got to be smarter who you sign for.
Yeah.
It's only cash.
That's what I don't get, too. The guy had him sign, and then he ratted him out.
See, that's if I'm like, that guy is just shady.
That is shady. I mean, I can understand if, like, Gurley stiffed him somehow, and he wanted to get back at him, but everything it appears is that, I got my money, and now, oh, by the way, I'm going to throw this guy under the bus. So,
by the way, quickly, since we were talking about it, Denard Robinson does have eight catches. The year for 23 yards.
That's why I don't remember.
That's why.
A whopping 23 yards.
Holy smokes, man. It's hard to average less than 3 yards a catch.
Right. He had 20 carries all of last year. He's got 23 this year for 72. So he's accounted for 95 yards.
So
he's 31
he's got that
touches.
Magical 3 yard per carry average going right now.
Yeah, he's at less
3 yards
than 3 yards.
What's Toby averaging, Tone?
I'm not sure.
If you dig that, let me get Joe up real quick while we're waiting.
2-4 carry.
He's got a question about Aaron Colvin. Joe, you're on Jaguars today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to ask about cornerback Aaron Colvin, who had the ACL, but we drafted him out of Oklahoma. See if he was rehabbing okay. I'm sure he isn't doing any practicing yet, but they did. Keep him on the roster in a way that they can bring him on this season. So is he on track to make it back this season?
I think he's on track for them to have that option. You know, he's been doing the straight line stuff. Like you said, he's not eligible to put on the pads and the helmet. But, you know, my guess, I'm going to go the other way. I think they bring him back here for a couple games at the end of the year just for the benefit of moving forward. If he's fully healthy, but yeah, I mean, he's still around. He's here every day.
All right. Thank you for the call, Joe. Let's go to Darren up next here on 1010XL. What's going on?
Real quick comment about, Jack. You know, I thought we saw the defense swarming to the ball, with Pittsburgh, like we did in the preseason. It seemed like the first few games, they kind of were worried about their assignments. Where the Pittsburgh game, I was there, and it seemed like they seemed to be flying around the ball much better. And so I'm just looking for the defense now to like, you know, come together a little tighter and continue to play good ball, and then maybe give us some shots at some games. And so I was just going to hang up and listen to your thoughts.
All right, Darren. I think that was the plan all along, right? Envision that the defense is going to keep you in games and count on the offense making a play somewhere along the line. You got to make some plays and pull some of these out. But that was the first time, really, that the defense kept them in for four quarters of a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, they helped them build that lead against Philly. You know, but the Pittsburgh game was one touchdown short of being, you know, the recipe they envisioned is being able to contain an offense, play a little field position, put some drives together, and then, you know, squeak out a win. But on defense, you see, you know, they're tackling better since that catastrophe against Indy. Then, you know, in terms of lining up right, you don't see as many guys just running wide open. So there's things are on the same page there a little bit, but you still got to put it together.
Toby Gerhart, by the way, his numbers, 2.6 yards a carry. He's got 48 attempts for 123 yards, a long of 13.
Which he fumbled on.
Yeah, he's got the touchdown. He's got 9 first downs on those 48 carries. He's caught 8 balls for 83 yards with a long of 26 receiving and lost the 1 fumble. And I do believe that goal-to-go situation against San Diego is still the only goal-to-go situation this offense has had this year, isn't it?
I think so, and it's their only rushing touchdown.
What was the total on 48 carries again?
123.
So less than 3.
2.6.
2.6, yeah. So Denard is exploding past that number.
Denard was 3.1.
Right.
Take that.
Woo! Seriously, a half a yard is pretty significant. That's a significant difference, but the sample size is pretty small for these guys right now. But I think we've seen enough for Toby to think that it's not like a 14 carry sample size.
Storm Johnson's 6.8.
There you go.
Four, Four carries.
But we'll see this week. I think we'll get a much healthier dose of Storm Johnson. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get in. Coming up next, this date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL. We'll check in with Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com as well and get some handicapping perspective on Week 6 in the National Football League. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.